Nikolai, I'll give you a day or two, three at the most. And then you're to give me an answer.
Around this time, seemingly unrelated incidents of disruption began to occur throughout our province. Workmen in the Spigulin factory, about 70 of them, were demanding workers' rights by protesting directly to the governor. He refused to meet them, and Moscow papers wrote pages about large sticks that were allegedly used to beat them into submission. In town, no one could tell whether the workers were provoked by outside influences or were acting on their own accord. In the midst of these developing troubles, the new governor's wife, Yulia, at Peter's instigation, had the idea of a whole day of town celebrations, a subscription fete for the benefit of deprived governesses of the region. She approached Varvara Petrovna to help organize the festivities, with Peter providing suggestions for the program and even volunteering to do a dramatic reading as part of the entertainments. I asked Varvara about her memory of the events of that fateful day and evening.
Peter and the governor's wife, Yulia, were close friends. He had a tremendous influence over her and advised her on almost all her social decisions. He can be an extraordinarily charming man. There was no reason to be suspicious of his involvement with the fete. A committee was formed, and it was decided that the fete would be open to everyone. I had expected the fete to be a great success, an event which would unite the entire town. But from the start, the omens were not good. I noticed several persons being admitted whose clothes were almost in rags. They were not local people. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw such sinister-looking and shabby people freely admitted. But who could have let them in? And for what purpose? Lyamshin and Liputin had already been stripped of their stewards' badges and asked to leave because of their aggressive and drunken behavior. Everyone began criticizing the organizers and shouting abuses at the governor's wife without holding back. In fact, it was incoherent and drunken ranting, so it was difficult to make any sense of it. And then I heard a sound I will never forget.
All the Riverside Quarter is on fire!
Fire! Fire!
Fire! Fire! Fire!
This terrible cry was followed by such panic that I can't attempt to describe it. The riverside was in flames in three separate areas.
Arson! The Spigulin main! The Spigulin main! No one else! We were all lured here on purpose so the fire could be started.
Everyone rushed for the door. I won't describe the hysterical crush in the hallway over cloaks, shawls, hats. The governor and his wife were almost crushed by the crowd at the doors.
Search her first! The ball was arranged so that the fire could be started.
Towards daybreak, some of this drunken mob made their way to the scene of the fire to make trouble there. So ended the fete for the benefit of the governesses of our province.
The fire enveloped the whole quarter with extraordinary rapidity. A whole street parallel to the river was engulfed in flames. It was as light as day. On the very outskirts of the quarter, not less than 50 feet from any other building, there stood a little wooden house. And this isolated house had been on fire from the very beginning, almost before any other. The owner of this house, who lived in the area, rushed up as soon as he saw it in flames and saved the house. But there were tenants in the house, the captain, Lebaidkin, his sister Maria, and their elderly servant, and these three people had been murdered and apparently robbed in the night. One other fact has to be added. The person who had paid the rent for this house, on behalf of the Lebaidkins, was no other than Nikolai Stavrogin. The fire wasn't an accident, I heard it said in the crowd. Gossip about Nikolai spread. It was said that the murdered woman was his wife, that the day before he had dishonorably absconded with a young lady belonging to the best family in the town, none other than Lizaveta Drozdov. that a complaint was to be lodged against him in Petersburg, and that his